You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Everybody, how you doing? Yeah, it's over. The 2023-24 Flyers season has come to an end following a 2-1 loss in regulation to the Washington Capitals. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Joining me tonight, as he did throughout the entire game, it's JP Zapata. Charlie O'Connor will be by sooner than later, I would assume. We're getting a little bit late start to the postgame tonight. But it was really over prior to the finish of the Flyers game with a few minutes left. The Detroit Red Wings tied up their game against the Montreal Canadiens 4-4 with 3 seconds left in regulation there. And by forcing overtime, they knocked out the Flyers. They eventually win in a shootout 5-4 over the Habs. And the Flyers go down 2-1. They gave up the empty netter at the end to seal it. And it was just kind of the story of a lot of this season. I wouldn't say the Flyers played poorly. I wouldn't say their effort was lacking.
Right.
There was zero offense. They scored one goal. It came off the stick of Eric Johnson. of course, we all had him to score an anytime goal tonight at probably plus a million. The big guys couldn't score tonight, whether it was TK, Tippett. We'll probably talk to Charlie about what John Tortorella has to say about Frost and Brink not playing the final half of the game. Pretty interesting call when you need to score. They don't even get out at the end. JP, what are your thoughts on the game and the season ending?
Like, we're going to have a full off season to kind of talk about the positivities of the season, because I think that there is more positive to take away than there is negative. But the fact of the matter is, tonight, with an opportunity to kind of, now, you didn't have the ability to control your own destiny, but you had the ability to take care of your own business, and that was against the Washington Capitals. And like you mentioned, yes, I thought the effort was great. But again, that offense is just it's just terrible. I mean, like, not even a flying V, a Fulton Reed, or a Russ Tyler could have helped us out there tonight.
28 shots on goal. They hold the Capitals to 18 and lose the game. It's just a bummer. Like, the way this thing all went down, and listen, even if they had won, like, there was other things that had to happen, and the Red Wings game didn't go the way it needed to.
Right.
So the season ended either way.
What's the likelihood that they even knew that game that final score took place?
I'm just looking here. Nobody shows up on the score. Like, Sean Couturier ends up with an assist, and who got the other? Zamula got the other assist on the Johnson goal. Like, that's it. That's your scoring tonight. It's just disappointing. And it's not like this has been a high-powered offense all year. They have been streaky. Travis Konecny, we've said all year, like, when he's your best offensive talent, when he's your best player, you're lacking quite a few things. And that's not to say anything bad about Travis Konecny. He's a very good player. But on a good team, like a really good team, he's the third best player on your first line.
Right.
Or he's one of the best players on your second line. He is unquestionably the Flyers' best player, you know, and he wins the Bobby Clark Trophy tonight. He very much deserved that. A 30-goal season. You just see him, five shots on goal and a minus two on the game. I think he led the way with shots. Yeah, it was Paling and Tippett each had four. Mm-hmm. But you look at those guys, the players who came through for you all year, whether it is Konechny or Tippett or a young guy like Tyson Forster, just didn't seem like anybody had an extra gear tonight. That's what I'll say, is this team did not look bad, but they did not look like they could ramp it up any further than what they were at.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, like, I do want to ask, Charlie, I want to look at the whole Brink and Frost thing, because, like, look, I've defended Torts throughout this entire season, but, like, I just need to understand how it is that the two kids that provided the most offense for you, and I granted those kids don't have a lot of NHL experience, I get that, but in a playoff situation, Torts is always about accountability. These guys stepped up in a moment that you needed offense, and these guys, I was going to get a goal, but Bill, like, these guys were flying all over the ice. Bobby Brink had some great opportunities.
I really thought Brink was noticeable in the first period.
Exactly.
I thought he was one of the guys who kind of stood out early in this game. And we'll see what the assessment was of why those guys couldn't get back out on the ice when you're just looking at this box score. And, you know, you get 16 minutes and 30 seconds out of Farabee. Where's, Paling plays 18:58. Lawton, 16:19. Hathaway, 17:07. Kootz gets 18 and a half minutes. Konechny, 21:14. And you're just, hey, listen, the top end guys absolutely need that ice time. But I'm looking at that Cates, Paling, Hathaway line. And yeah, they were good. They get in the offensive zone. They forecheck. They work their asses off. They're John Tortorella guys. There's a reason they're on this team. Like, they stand out on this team because, like, they do something not a lot of guys do, but what they don't do a ton is score goals. And they deserve their ice time tonight, but you could have made this a little more even than just, like, man, all Frost or Brink need is, like, a shift, you know? But really, it's not even about tonight. When you think about played out, like, tonight is a rearranging the deck chairs kind of night. Okay, we need Montreal to beat Detroit. And it's like, yeah, it's doable. Also, they just blew a 4-1 lead to them last night, and Montreal stinks. Like, all right, and now we need the Isles to beat the Penguins tomorrow. And the Isles have nothing to play for, and Sidney Crosby is dragging this team along. Like, you needed so many things to go your way if you had just taken care of your business at any point. Like, and we can look at that 8-game losing streak, and that's really what it comes down to. 6 of those games were beyond winnable. And you go back to earlier in the season, they've played 2 of their worst games of the year against freaking Ottawa. They're terrible. You got blown out by Pittsburgh on the Cutter Gauthier day. The Sharks game is the one we'll all always come back to, because if they just win that goddamn first Sharks game and don't give the Sharks their first win, the game after the two prior, they surrendered 10 in each. We're not even sitting here doing this, but this is what happens when you're not a good team. And that's what this playoff race came down to. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was captivating. There were so many different scenarios. There were 4 teams for 1 spot. That was fun. None of these teams are any good. Like, and that's what it comes down to. And you're just one of these mediocre teams.
Yeah, no. And like these last couple games really showed us a lot of different things here for the Flyers going forward. Like, yes, I do truly believe that the Flyers are heading in the right direction. The culture, I truly believe, it took a revamp this year. You saw how hard they played for most parts of the season. But, Bill, you can't help but wonder and look at this team. Let's look at them at the last 11 games here. Imagine if they had some more top-end talent on that forward line, even just some young top-end talent. And look, your Foresters, your Brinks, and your Frost took some big steps here, but they still have some development to do. But, dude, like, we looked at the offense here tonight, man. It was just abysmal. And there was parts in the third period where the Caps were just like, we just need this game to end in 1-1.
That's when the Caps were kind of
keep it away from them.
When the Caps were kind of just like, you know what? We're going to play a little bit of keep away. Like, we're not even pushing that hard. We're just like, the Flyers weren't able to answer at different parts. It was like, we were talking during the watch party, and it was, man, they just need to break out. Like, they just need to get something going. And they did have a few chances. Like, it's not as if they got owned in the third period. Like I said, they held the Caps to 18 shots in the game as some very strong defense. They blocked a ton of shots. But you saw what the problem is with the team. No one to just go out there and say, on this fucking shift, I take it. Maybe you score, maybe you don't. No one can, except maybe Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon, honestly, this season. Like, I'm going to go score, you know? But you can will your team to, okay, well, I'm going to go win one shift, and by the time I'm getting back out there, this game's going to, like, we're going to be in the lead by the next time I take the ice because of the shift I'm about to have. No one here is that.
Yeah.
And they're, I don't know how they get it. That you could get lucky. I've said all along, I think they're going to be worse next year than they were this year. We'll see. But it's going to be tough. But now we take a look at the playoffs, and I'm just opening up the Bet Park Sportsbook app here right now. And, of course, the Wi-Fi is going to fight me as I'm doing this and trying to find the odds for Stanley Cup playoff futures. We'll get to them in a little bit, but I got to tell you, we're brought to you by the Bet Parks app. You can get in the zone with Bet Parks Sportsbook app. You get money in the moments, man. You bet on the little moments, those little things like, I don't know, could Owen Tippett possibly score an anytime goal? The answer was no tonight, and you would have lost, so hopefully you didn't do that, but you got to get in the zone with Bet Parks Sportsbook app. All the Stanley Cup playoff futures there. Bet on baseball every day. NBA play-in coming up. NBA playoffs. It's everything you want to bet on at Bet Parks. You can do it through their app. You bet. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. Download the app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And I'm just going to try to bring up.
Come on, Bet Parks.
It's the Wi-Fi. It's not even the app. But now I have the futures prices as they load. And I just want to find where exactly. Yeah, so the only. There we go. We can see all 16 participants. And the Washington Capitals are at plus 7,500 to win the Stanley Cup. The Islanders are next at 3,700. Preds at 30-1. Kings at 27-1. Lightning, 20-1. That might be something to look at. Leafs at 16. Jets at 15. Okay. Vancouver at 12. I like that, too. Boston, 11.50. Vegas, 10-1. Stars plus 850. That's Charlie's team. A lot of people really like the Stars.
Yeah.
And I think there's been value on them all along. But now that we're down to 16 teams, I want to get on that Bet Parks Sportsbook app. Check out them Dallas Stars.
Yeah, man.
Another thing, just I guess I'm just bothered by the way this all played out. Like, I just wanted them to be able to carry this thing over. And I realized it was out of their hands, and it would have been out of their hands tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that really needed to happen to make this game meaningful was Sam Harrison bouncing back. And he did over the last two games that they won, and he was excellent tonight. Now, they did a great job in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, the one goal he lets up is a distance shot that bounces off Ovechkin's hip or something into the net. It was weird as hell. There's two defensemen there. Somehow the puck gets through, hits him, and of course it hit that guy. Of course it's going to go in the net. Everything he does goes in the net. Like, ends the year with 31 goals. He had 8 through 43 games.
Insane,
it's unbelievable.
Man.
But I will say, maybe the most encouraging thing about the way this season ended is Sam Harrison bouncing back.
Yeah,
I don't know what his ceiling is now, but I believe he's an NHL goalie. I know he had real, real rough run there. He also had no choice. Like, when a goalie loses whatever it is, whether he just loses his net for a minute, whether his confidence is gone, he's a little banged up, whatever the issue is, when that happens, typically, a team can go, we got you. And they put someone else in for a couple of days. At no point were a couple of days on the table, and one day with Sandstrom, Peterson, and then eventually Fedotov was like, yeah, that's about enough. We've seen about enough of these guys. I don't know if he's like a number one. I don't know if he's a Stanley Cup champion, number one franchise goalie. We'll see what he turns into. I believe he is at least a good tandem goalie, though, and him bouncing back shows me he has the one thing that maybe matters most, the mental capacity for it. He has the makeup for this job, and I saw that in the way he bounced back.
Yeah, I mean, to the benching part, I mean, you saw the Islanders team that made it as well yesterday. Sorokin got benched for a couple games. Like, it definitely does. You see in the league for sure, but with Sam Harrison, I mean, Bill, Listen, that 8-game losing streak, he didn't play well, but the team as a whole didn't play well. And what I saw in these last three games, like, Sam, you see that mental edge that he does have. Like, that's why I do have confidence in him going forward. And again, I'm not sitting here and saying that he is the lockdown. He's your guy. He's your guy in that for the majority of next season. I still want to see a veteran in here. Obviously, we have Kolosov and Fedotov. We'll see how they fit in the mix here as well. But for Arison, he's shown you a lot of positive, especially his last three games here. And it's a positive that he can take over into next year.
No, it is. It is one of the things I'm hoping carries over. Another guy I thought had at least a strong start to the game was Jamie Drysdale.
He did.
I thought he was pretty good early. I think the most encouraging thing was he wanted to be assertive early. And we were sitting there talking, and I said, this is the biggest game of his career. Like, he's been in Anaheim this whole time. He's a young guy. This is the biggest game of his NHL career. And I like that early on, he at least wanted to try to assert himself. He was taking a few shots. You could see him. He just had a little extra juice. Jamie Drysdale has a lot of developing. He has a long way to go. But again, it's the mentality that I did appreciate out of him tonight.
Yeah, and like I was telling you, like he was taking those shots early on. And ironically, we only had one power play for both teams, which is something you don't hear, especially in the final game.
Whistle was in the pocket today.
Except
for one occurrence. There was one time where the refs decided to blow the whistle tonight, and it just took the weirdest fucking goal I've ever seen away from the Flyers. Like, it was, that part was absolutely asinine. Usually in those instances, like, we've seen it happen where, like, everyone kind of loses it, but one ref has an eye and maybe one player knows what's going on. He's like, I have an open net, haha, and, like, pumps it in. Nobody had any clue. Like, that puck was off of Farabee and on its way into the net before Farabee knew it was happening. Like, he took the initial shot. The whole thing was so damn weird. It's hard to almost blame the ref because everyone acted like the goalie had it or it was going up out of play. But it is your only job. And like, your job is to see the puck. And it wasn't covered. Like, it didn't go anywhere. It went up in the air. All you had to do was continue watching it.
Yeah.
And it takes a goal away from the Flyers. That was rough.
Yeah, it was tough for us because we were also doing the live watch along, so we really couldn't hear. But that was really my main question. Like, when was that whistle blown? And like, okay, but the thing is, like, Billy, they replayed it. Like, they went to the review.
The review looked like, we know we made a mistake, and maybe someone's season is going to end because of a mistake we made. And like, it seemed like they were looking for an excuse to be like, no, this goal counts. And it was just like, sorry, man. Like, it's the rule.
So I have to wonder, though, because typically with a goal like that's a momentum shift, right?
Sure.
But the way they played offensively, it's like, would that have really changed the way the game have gone?
It still gets back to the root cause of this to me. Like, when your season is maybe decided by the call of a referee, you put yourself in that situation by not taking care of your business earlier.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If it's going to come down to one stupid goddamn call, it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Now, listen, yes, referees. And I said, like, I think it was the 2016 final, Pittsburgh and Nashville, when Nashville scored and the referee in the corner was just lazy and just stood there and was like, oh, no, I blew the whistle. I thought it was covered. And it was like, the puck's in the slot.
Yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no reason. But mistakes happen. Blown calls happen. We see this shit all the time, and it happens in big, big games. You have to put yourself in a situation where that one thing doesn't crumble you.
Then that goes back to the point with the offense here, and this is where, like, Jonesy, Brier, and so Torts in there as well have to figure out how to kind of change the way this offense works. Because, Bill, this whole entire year, if it wasn't a deflection like that Joel Farabee one, or where they're trying to use the entirety of the ice going on a breakaway, the power play kill for a while, it was the number one power play kill in the league because they were scoring so many goals off that. It cannot just be that, because a team like Washington is just going to be like, all right, well, defensemen just sit back a little bit because they're obviously going to want to use the entirety of the ice.
It does seem as if
they're going to figure it out.
It does seem as if at a certain point in this season, teams were like, we're going to play cover two.
For sure.
Good
why
luck.
Not?
Like, when your whole offense is the deep ball, it makes sense. And I see we have the super chat. I guess if there's something we can take away from tonight, it is, as the super chat says, F the Penguins.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. If we want to at least look at the glass as half full, we kept the Penguins out by losing to the Caps. The Caps win and get in, which means Sidney Crosby does not go to the playoffs for a second consecutive year.
The Capitals fans got to love that, too. After all those years, Sidney terrorizing them.
Oh, yeah.
They got to love that.
This was a big one. They clinched the playoffs for themselves. They eliminated the Flyers. They eliminated the Red Wings. And they eliminated the Penguins, who have been, I mean, that's been a great rivalry for almost 20 years.
For sure.
Like, they've met in the playoffs a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
They've killed each other. Like, there was a I remember the one, there was early on in their careers, like maybe 07, 08, something like that. They both had hat tricks in like a deciding game. Like, those two, Crosby and Ovechkin, have been amazing rivals for two decades. And like, when Ovechkin says me and him saved the league, like, it's absolutely true. They came out of the lockout. They're playing on the Outdoor Life Network.
It's Bird and Magic Johnson for the NHL.
It really was like a Johnson Bird sort of thing. And they both are going to end up as not just like Hall of Famers, not just all-time greats, but Ovechkin's going to be the all-time leading goal scorer.
For sure.
And Sidney Crosby is going to be thought of as some combination of Mark Messier, Peter Forsberg.
Pains me, man.
And like, I don't even know. Like, it's hard to, and Joe Sakic. Like, I don't even, like, he's just this amazing freaking player. But that has been a rivalry for so long, and the Caps come out ahead this year. Like, it's always, they're kind of each other's measuring stick as they like move along in their careers. Like, they're going to be measured against each other. And this year, Ovi's in, Crosby's not.
If we're going to take anything away from, I guess, tonight, it's the fact that Pittsburgh's out. Yeah, I guess I can deal with, especially because Ovi's like almost at the end of his career. I guess I can deal with that. But yeah, you know, it definitely does suck. You know, the fact that, I think for a lot of fans, we were hoping, because we were in a playoff spot for so many days, Bill.
And that's like, what's disheartening about, like, listen, it was a rebuild.
Right.
It was a season with no expectations. The ride was a lot of fun. For our first year here at PHLY,
that's right.
Hard to ask for much more out of a team that I was like, oh, you're giving me a two-year contract, huh? All right, man. Flyers are going to suck. Cool. Thanks. And like, they didn't. Like, it made this job so much easier. My first year, like, getting to do this full time this way. But the fact that they were in that playoff spot for so long, and it just seemed inevitable for certain stretches of the season to blow it like this, the way they did, an 8-game losing streak. And then the last two nights for everything to unfold against them. It sucks. Like, it just, it's like, it's a kick in the gut, man.
That's why I say, like, they are headed, I really do feel like they are headed in the right direction. Because, like we just said, like, there was no expectations for this season. And what you saw was good hockey, hockey that you can get behind. But, yeah, like, we need talent. Like, that's what we need talent. Like, right now, you know, we got Gordon Bombay getting the most out of District 5. Like, we need to go get, you know, Julie the Cat Gaffney.
But you know what? They needed to steal backs. That was the thing. Like, that team had a ton of heart, but they were actually like, yo, the district lines, Adam Banks is ours. And that's how they win the championship, you know? Like, let's be real here. No, listen, this has been a lot of fun. And you know what was a lot of fun? Our watch party earlier today.
Yeah.
And it was brought to you by our friends at Olipop. Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. 2 out of every 3 Americans say they suffer from digestive issues, and 95% of Americans don't get the daily recommended amount of fiber. Olipop is tackling both these issues with a drink that tastes just like soda. Olipop was a big hit with our diehards who joined us here tonight. We made a few different cocktails with the Olipop.
That was smart, man.
The strawberry vanilla with tequila was stupendous. I'm probably going to make a couple of those when I get home tonight. The liquor I bought for the party, it's coming home with Bill. And so, too, might be some Olipop. We're going to make a few of those. And Olipop is available online, available in almost 30,000 retailers, including the most recent launch at Wawa stores. And one of the flavors they have debuting is the strawberry vanilla that I made the delicious cocktails with tonight. So check that out at Wawa, or use code PHLY20 for 20% off your next order at drinkolipop.com. Discount only applies to one-time orders, not subscriptions. Olipop is also sold online at Amazon and is available at Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff.
I say use PHLY20 at drinkolipop.com. It's so hard to do a show like tonight where there's this mix of feelings.
Yeah.
Like a part of me just wants to go, okay, it's the off season. Let's focus on off season shit. But it's really like we're still in it. Like the regular season still has two more days in the NHL, technically. Now the Flyers is over. They're at game 82. It's done. They're eliminated. The 16 playoff teams are set. So we're kind of just going through the motions these last couple of days. But I do want to talk more about just like how we ended up in this spot, because to blow it like they did is disheartening. But to play above their weight class the way they did for the first 65 games of the year.
How do you explain that, though? Like, that's insane. Like, how are you going up toe-to-toe with the likes of the Boston Bruins and New York Rangers, but then you're getting shellacked by the Blackhawks and the Blue Jays?
The scores of that like last two games, like the way they just got crushed in those last couple of games is, it's inexcusable. We can say anything we want. Listen, they were out of gas, the injuries, this and that. They were never supposed to be here in the first place. The way those games unfolded was inexcusable. But it's 2 out of 82 in a mostly... yeah, man, I got to give it to them sort of season. Like, they did play well above expectation for most of the year. And getting to play in these meaningful games. Now, listen, they lost a bunch of them. And I don't love the way they played tonight. They played it fine, but there was no, like, let's fucking go. Like, I didn't feel that from them tonight. But we got to see them in meaningful games, and a lot of guys got some useful experience. Like that first power, well, the only power play, you know, like Tyson Forster, Bobby Brink, Jamie Drysdale, they're all on the ice.
Yeah.
That's a huge moment. Like them getting to be in that moment is big for their development.
I love that. I love that. Real quick, because Jordan brought up a valid question. So he asked in the comment section, why would Torts pull the goalie? I'm so confused. So, Jordan, the thing was, obviously, at that point, we didn't know what was happening with the Montreal and Detroit game. But the Flyers needed to beat the Caps in regulation. So, like, going in OT really didn't matter at all for their playoff hopes. So, that is why he did pull him. But, you know, like that right there, like I told you, like right when we went to the power play, I was like, Bill, give me the second unit. Drysdale, I want him running the point, because he was feeling it. He was ripping those shots. And we talked about it. Like, dude, like what is even the plan on the power play? So I'd rather just see Drysdale just rip shots and having the young kids out there. We had Travis Konecny there too in that power play. Just try to put something back. But that was, I mean, we had one power play, but
I felt good about that power play.
It wasn't the worst. I mean, they've had much worse power plays this
year.
For
sure.
But it was, like, I guess, you know, when we're having to explain, you got to pull the goalie because you need, like, that's all part of the, don't put yourself in this situation.
Exactly.
Beat the goddamn Montreal Canadiens. Not even, one out of two. You got two cracks at the Habs. Who have now blown leads, big leads in back-to-back games, like against, you know, the Detroit team that ultimately falls a little short. But, like, it just sucks that they put themselves in this situation. But now I guess we can look a little glass half full as well. They are from the bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12th from the bottom. So if they remain in this spot, depending on what happens over the next couple of days, they cannot get the top two picks because you can only move up 10 spots, I think. Okay. All right. They can't get one, whatever it is. You can only move up 10 spots, but we're hoping for lottery luck now. It's not exactly where we thought we might be. You know, a couple weeks ago or like a week ago, we were saying, well, if they finish on the 11-game losing streak, they could pick ninth. And then ninth, you hope for some lottery luck. Maybe you pick fifth, whatever.
Have you started looking at prospects?
I haven't yet. We haven't started to ramp up the...
Do you know if it's a deep draft, at least?
It's a good draft for defensemen. I
kind of need those.
That's a big part of why I think they're going to target some next year. Like, I mean, they got the next year first-round pick for Sean Walker. But I do think... next year is very center heavy, and so they're going to put a lot of stock into next year's draft. Yeah. I think that's going to shape some of the off-season moves. I do not expect Scott Laughton to be here. Depending on if we ever get, like, I was talking about trading Ristolainen after the watch along with my buddies, and you know, Frankie's like, who's going to trade for a guy with an undisclosed injury? Like, he played 31 games this year.
Man, I can't say healthy.
He missed the start of the season.
Right.
And he hasn't played since I don't even remember when. So I would like to see him go at some point to open up another roster spot.
To be fair, he has looked solid when he has played, but obviously the best ability is availability.
You have to play. Yeah. you can be the best goddamn player in the world, but if you're not out there, who cares? Like, you're doing nothing. You could also be Cam Atkinson and be a bad player. Dude. That's another one. Like, I have no idea what that offseason plan with Cam is going to be. Do you talk to him and, like, we got to buy you out? Do you try to just eat it for another year rather than spread out the cap hit over two different seasons? It's a tough call with Atkinson, but he's in the lineup tonight. He plays 441 in a must-win game. I want to bring up the time on ice and report.
He did a great job opening the door on the bench.
He got five shifts in the first period. He got one shift in the second period. That was it. I mean, like, it's a tough conversation they're going to have with a guy that they really respect. Obviously, the coach has great admiration for Cam Atkinson. But, like, this is just one of those things. And if you're letting him play out the string and, like, he gets to be there because he's a veteran and he's earned at least the respect of being in the lineup, I could live with that in a rebuilding year. But he's just another one where you have to be like, what is the point of him being on the team? He hasn't scored. He hasn't recorded a point in months.
He's just wasting, like, a spot, man.
Yeah, it's kind of just an empty spot. And you're looking, okay, now I have named three guys who didn't play in the third period. One who didn't play basically in the second either. It's hard to win with nine forwards. And three of those nine are like Noah Cates, Ryan Paling, Garnet Hathaway, all players I really like. I can't wait for this team to be good, and I hope that's our fourth line when we are. Fourth line. Like, and that's one of your three lines that you're running because three guys ain't playing. It's just, the unpacking of this game is going to maybe take a couple of days. Like, we might be still talking about this game on Friday.
Oh, for sure. I do want to talk about another player. He did not have a bad game. But I did notice some regressions as the season went on, and you probably won't be able to move him, but where you at with Coots, man?
I am. I thought Coots played one of his best games. I think Charlie tweeted the same thing.
For sure.
I think Coots played one of his best games in maybe 2 months today. I'm ready to kind of chalk this one up as a loss, and I need to see him next year. I need to see if he can. Like, if this year was just, yeah, man, I haven't played an 82 game season since I was 26. Like, there was COVID, the two COVID shortened seasons, a couple of injuries. Like, it's been 5 years. I got tired. All right, now you've gone through it, and I need you to be good all season next year, you know? And now we are joined by Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor. Game 82, Chuck. Things don't go the Flyers' way. The Flyers lose. It is after, of course. It ended anyway with Detroit and Shane Gostisbehere tying things up with 3 seconds left to eliminate the Flyers by forcing overtime. Thoughts on game 82?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you once you started talking, so I'll just give my general feeling after the pressers. Honestly, it's a bummer. I feel bad for these guys. I honestly feel like, you know, and yeah, in the end, it's on them, because they're the ones who went on the 8-game losing streak. And had they scored a few wins during that run, if they would have beaten Montreal once, if they would have beaten Columbus, you know, they're not in this position. They don't open the door for, you know, other teams to pass them. And maybe they're sitting third in the Metro. Maybe they're where the Islanders are. But you could tell, the guys we talked to Scott Laughton, Sean Couturier, Eric Johnson, and Sam Harrison. Coots and Laughton in particular, I mean, you could tell just how devastated they were. These guys, I give them credit. I said this after the Montreal game, that I thought the playoffs were, at that point, out of the question. They had put themselves in a position where they were toast. It was over. I just needed to see them over the final three, show they weren't quitting, prove that, and really finish the year as strong as they could. And I thought, you know, even this game, I thought they finished the year as a team about as strong as they could have. You know, this is a game where I thought they, on the whole, got the better of play. They lose on an empty net goal. You know, maybe if they're in a different situation, they win this game in overtime because they don't have to worry about pulling the goalie late in the third. I don't come away from this game with too many bad things to say about the Flyers. I think you can say bad things about that eight-game losing streak. You probably quibble with some of the decisions that John Tortorella made in this game. Some guys didn't have it, I would say, as much as you certainly wanted them to. But as a group, for me, I felt like this game and the previous two, you know, the Flyers showed that they care, and they showed that, you know, this is a team that is together, and it's not like they're a finished product by any means. They need a lot more talent. That is going to be the focus, hopefully, of this offseason, of next offseason, you know, basically until Michkov comes over. They need to find ways to get, you know, high-end young talent, whether it's through draft, whether it's through trades, whether it's through developing the existing guys they have, turning guys like Tyson Forrester into stars. They got to find some way to get them. But I think as a group, these guys did about all they could in this one. It just wasn't enough. And it's a bummer, but it just wasn't enough.
You have us now, Charlie. Can you hear me?
I do. I can hear you now, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with I thought they were good tonight. I didn't think they had – and, like, they just – one, they don't have that high-end talent, so they don't have that one guy like a Claude Giroux to come out, lay out Sidney Crosby and score the goal and say, let's fucking go, and it's over, you know. They don't have that. But I didn't think they had, like, that next level tonight. They just – they look good, but they didn't look desperate to me. That's just me. But, I think they finished strong, and that is a good sign. You mentioned some of Tortorella's decisions. They end up, for the second half of the game, and really most of the last two periods, basically just rolling three lines. Cam Atkinson, we know, like, it is what it is. But Brinken Frost. Yeah, can score. They score goals sometimes. The Flyers desperately needed a couple of those. They didn't play the final 30 minutes of the game. What did you make of that? What did Torts say about it if he addressed it?
Yeah, I mean, Torts was asked about it. He had to be. Well, he actually brought it up on his own at first. He said he'd shortened the bench mostly because, you know, he had kind of zeroed in on the guys who he thought were rolling and he wanted to ride them. You know, and he felt like after he started doing that, the team started developing more offense. They obviously had the very strong finish of the second period. That was after he shortened the bench. That probably convinced him to keep doing it into the third. I hit him with a follow-up question, basically said, you mentioned about shortening the bench. Was it more about what the nine guys you kept playing were doing, or was it more about what the three guys you stopped playing weren't doing? And he said both. Look, I think it's abundantly clear that Cam Atkinson, you know, whether he has nothing left in his NHL career or whether he just had nothing left in this season, he had nothing left. That makes perfect sense. I tweeted out Frost and Brink were still in the middle of the bench. It seemed like they still thought they might get more shifts. Atkinson spent the entire third period on the far side, one spot away from the nearest guy, just opening and closing the door. He knew he wasn't getting back in that game. Even Brink, I understand. He's a rookie. He's been inconsistent. I went back and watched the tape. He had a pretty ugly – it ended up not really amounting to anything, but it was basically just like a post-entry turnover that didn't make much sense. He kind of passed the puck to no one and ended up going right out of the zone. Maybe that was the play that caught Torts' eye. Frost is the one where – and, I mean, I am not the biggest Morgan Frost defender in the world. I think he was – pretty darn good through the vast majority of the second half of the season, really, since January. Maybe he wasn't playing his best, but to me, he should have been in the rotation in the second half of this game. You should have found a way to get him some shifts, especially given the fact that you needed offense. I mean, Sam Erickson said it after the game, we entered this game down one goal, that's the way we had to treat it. We were down one goal from the start of this game. Because I asked Erickson, I said, where are your feelings at? Like, you play in this must-win game, the team loses, and you were on the bench when the game-winning goal was scored. Like, where's your head at? And that's when he said, we enter this game down one goal. So I think he was looking at it where he should have delivered a shutout, that was his feeling. But if you enter a game down one goal, you need goals, you've been struggling to score goals. In my mind, Morgan Frost, he's not a perfect player, but he's certainly one of your most talented offensive players. And I think he should have been in the rotation. I understand he didn't look amazing in the first half, but I don't think he looked terrible. Like, it wasn't as if he was making massive mistakes. He messed up on defensive coverage. I think he should have stayed in the rotation. In the end, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because even if they win this game in regulation, Detroit takes the game to overtime and the Flyers are out anyway. So in the end, I guess we're kind of talking about something that in the grand scheme of things is irrelevant, but it is relevant in one way, in that one of the big stories we talked about it ad nauseum in the first half of the season was the Torts Morgan Frost relationship. It seemed like Frost had earned his way, if not into Torts' good graces, but at least out of the doghouse, that in game 82, for all the marbles, Torts regressed back into his old holding Morgan Frost to a different standard than he does to other guys. It rubbed me the wrong way. I'm sure Morgan Frost didn't particularly care for it. Do I think it means that Morgan Frost is getting traded? No, I don't know how this is going to play out. I think he had a strong second half. I think Danny Briere really likes him. It's just that I didn't love that decision from John Tortorella, because you need goals, and Morgan Frost is one of the guys who helps to create goals. And instead, you were rolling with, you know, Noah Cates, who I love, but he's not a scorer. I know he's been scoring recently, but like, Ryan Poehling gets the fourth most minutes on the forward core. Good player. I would rather have Morgan Frost out there when you need a goal than Ryan Poehling. But Torts just went back to his old ways, and Morgan Frost was the cause of that, I guess.
I completely agree with that, Charlie. Hey, JP over here. I want to talk about the big moment in the first period where you had that weird, like, Joel Farabee deflection goes in net there. It gets called back. We were doing the live watch along, so we really couldn't hear exactly what happened, but we were there in the building. What did you hear what the call was on that one?
Yeah, it's hard for me to get – to me, it's just one of those plays where, it sucks for the Flyers because – there's no reason why the ref should blow that play dead. That is a live puck. It is a puck that is going to drop into a very dangerous area, and maybe the Flyers score if that whistle isn't blown. But I can't get too angry about the ultimate call, because once, like, that whistle was blown while that puck is in the air. You heard that whistle while the puck is still skyward in the air. Once the whistle is blown, guys relax a little bit because they think, well, it must be covered. And then the puck ends up going to the ground. It at least bounced off Farabee. It may have also bounced off Tom Wilson. It was kind of tough to tell from the replay. But the thing is that once it starts bouncing off of players who have given up on the play for dead, you can't really retroactively take back the whistle. Like, you screwed up. You changed the entire complexion of the play and the actions of the players post-whistle by blowing the whistle. You could have probably considered it a continuation of the play had the puck just bounced on the ice and bounced in the net. But once it starts hitting players, I don't think you can, by the rules, justify calling it a goal. Look, it sucks. It sucks that the ref made that mistake. It's just a bad break for the Flyers. But I don't think the call, like, the screw up here was blowing the whistle. I don't think, given the circumstances, the ultimate decision made by the NHL was wrong. It's just the friggin' whistle shouldn't have been blown, and it was, and it ended up working out really poorly for the Flyers. But by the same token, if the whistle isn't blown, I don't think it's a guarantee that puck ends up in the back of the net anyway, because the guys on the ice might treat the play differently if they don't hear a whistle a half second before it ends up in guys' equipment.
No, and like, you even see, like, Joel Farabee is not crashing the net there to try to get the rebound or something. He's just skating over because that's what you do. Like, he's gliding in, and he didn't know the puck hit him until it was in the net. Like, yeah. The play sucked, but it's like nobody had any clue what was going on there, including the refs. It's his job to know, but it is what it is. Down at the other end, Sam Ersson, you mentioned him earlier, Charlie. I thought maybe the most encouraging thing of the way this season closed was Ayerson stopping 60 of the last 62 shots he faced. I mean, the one goal he allows tonight is a distance shot that somehow finds its way through two defenders and hits Ovechkin and bounces in weird as shit. It is important that Sam Ayerson finished the season strong. I think he did. What did you think of his play over these last couple games and tonight?
Yeah, I think he really, I don't know if he answered any questions. He clearly showed that he has the mental capacity to shake off a truly horrific run and shake off what I'm sure was legitimate fatigue after getting as many games as he got. I'm sure of that. John Tortorella, in his post-game press conference, it originally appeared that he was going to deliver a very short and 3-4-word answers to every question type of press conference. He basically said, I don't want to answer any questions about the big picture of the season, which is fair. We're going to get to talk to him at exit interviews, so I get that. But he wouldn't give any explanation to what he had heard on the disallowed goal. It seemed like it was going to be one of those pressers, but then somebody asked about Ayerson, and that finally got him to open up a little bit, and he said, look, I think that's one of the most encouraging things about these last three games was the fact that Sam can now go into the offseason feeling good about himself because he was able to right the ship. And really, you know, as I said a couple games ago, like, I didn't think he was carrying the team, but he certainly was one of their better players over this three-game stretch. And it's worth noting, even in this game, he didn't lose them this game. He left the game with a tie. You know, he doesn't give up the game-winning goal. Maybe if they don't have to pull the goalie with the score being tied, maybe he gets the win in overtime or in a shootout or whatever. And we're talking about Sam Ayerson ending the year on a three-game losing streak or three-game winning streak. So Sam Ayerson, over the final three games, did everything you could have reasonably expected or hoped that he could do, especially given the workload he had, especially given the rut he was in. I feel more comfortable, much more comfortable now about Sam Ayerson than I did 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, in terms of how I feel about him going into next year. I'm back to feeling excited about what Sam Ayerson can do when he's not being run into the ground because of a really shitty situation. I'm excited to see what he can do as a tandem goalie next year, or even maybe as a 50-game starter. It's just you spread out his starts so they're not all coming in a row. You spread them out over the course of a season rather than doing them all between the start of February and the middle of April. I think you get a better goalie, and I think the Flyers believe that as well.
Charlie, I want to stay with some of these young players because over this last stretch of the season, they have really played well. But tonight in particular, Jamie Drysdale, I was telling Bill, like leading up to that one power play that we did have, I wanted to see that second power play unit because Drysdale was taking that shot. And if you really don't have a plan on power play in general, but in just looking in the future here, obviously Drysdale needs some development still, but I do like his possibility of quarterback in the power play for next season. Well, obviously what happens in the offseason, but what do you think, Charlie?
I liked his game. I thought he was skating well. I thought he was moving well. The lateral skating really popped, especially in the first half of the game. I don't know what Jamie Drysdale is ultimately going to become, to be honest with you. I truly don't know. I think he has the raw talent to be an impact defenseman, whether that's a number one or whether that's a sheltered second pair guy who, you know, just feasts on easier matchups. I think he has the talent to be a guy who on a nightly basis can make an impact. He's not that guy yet. It's very clear he needs a ton of work. But I do think the tools are there for him to be a really, really good player for the Flyers. Now, this is on the coaching staff, and it's on Jamie Drysdale. It's on the coaching staff to guide him in the right direction and mold him in a way that gets the most out of his talents. And then it's on Jamie Drysdale to put the work in the offseason, to put the work in next season, both in camp, working with Brad Shaw, and then during the season, dealing with the demanding coaching of John Tortorella, who I fully expect to be back next year. That's going to decide whether Jamie Drysdale is the impact defenseman that I believe he has the upside to be, but I don't think there's any guarantee he'll get there. He could end up just being a decent third pair defenseman who shows flashes of brilliance sometimes. That could be all he ends up being. I think there's something there for him to be a lot more than that. I don't know if he's going to get there. I know that it's going to depend on the coaches and it's going to depend on Jamie Drysdale's internal drive. And I guess we're going to see over the next, you know, 1, 2, even 3 years, whether he has it and whether the coaches are good enough to get it out of him.
man, when I think about Jamie Drysdale's ceiling, I watched this dude. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. In Detroit, Shane Gostis Behar.
Oh, yeah. You got that pronunciation.
A couple of plays the last two nights. Just high-end offensive skill. Man, if the Flyers could have someone like that and then maybe not give him away for nothing, that would be really something special there, Charlie. But, no, we're going to talk the end of this season to death, that eight-game losing streak. I think, like, even you put it on then because it's the timeline, like, things happen and, like, the most recent one is the one we think about, but, like, beat the fucking Sharks, you know? Don't play two of your worst games of the season against Ottawa, and you're in. Like, these things happen, but we're moving on now, Chuck. And before we wrap up tonight's postgame, we need the final edition of Charlie O'Connor's three stars of the game, leading off with star number three.
Yeah, star number three. I thought about Sean Couturier here, but I think I'm going to go Sam Harrison. And it's not even just this game. It's the fact that, you know, over these three games, him and Travis Konecny were the two biggest reasons that it got to game 82, that game 82 was meaningful, and that game 82 was meaningful really up until the end. It was meaningful really until, well, I guess until Detroit scores that goal. Apparently, I asked John Tortorella this as well about, you know, did he know what was going on in the Detroit game when he pulled the goalie? He said that, yeah, they were keeping track of it, and that was a driving force as to why he pulled the goalie. Then immediately after he pulls the goalie, he gets told by it was either the video coach or one of his assistants that they just tied it. But by then, the goalie's out of the net anyway, so it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to rush him back in. I guess in for a penny, in for a pound. And then obviously Washington scores the game-winning goal with Harrison out. But I think it's worth noting here that Harrison should not get the loss in this game. Yes, he was the goalie of record. He was not on the ice when Washington scored the game-winning goal. So I'm not going to give any of the other stars to Flyers because they have to own the loss. The one guy who does not have to own this loss is Sam Harrison. He did his job. He left the game with the score 1-1, and they lost this game primarily because of factors that happened long before this game happened. You know, the eight-game losing streak, all of the adversity they faced, the fact that other teams won, that other teams didn't give them the help they needed. Sam Harrison played a good enough game to get these guys to the playoffs. It's just things didn't break his way, and he ends up watching the game-winning goal score with him on the bench, not when he was in net. So for that reason, he's my third star.
Let's kick it to star number two.
Yeah, star number two is Alex Ovechkin. I know it was a little bit of a fluky goal, but you know what? When you're the best goal scorer of all time, I know he doesn't have the record yet, but I believe he will by the end of his career. It certainly seems like he's pacing that way. I don't think anything is fluky. Guys like that just know where to go to score goals. And the Flyers, as Sam Harrison noted in his post-game press conference, they entered this game down one goal. Alex Ovechkin turned this into a two-goal game, and that meant the rest of the game the Flyers were chasing. They were chasing what functionally was a two-goal deficit. This goes back to what we've been saying all year, and I know Alex Ovechkin is past his prime. He's at the tail end of his career. He is an all-time great. He is a difference maker. He is the epitome of high-end talent. He is what the Flyers don't have. And in this game, the Capitals got the big goal from the guy who is the epitome of their high-end talent. That's what the Flyers need. You know, I'm certainly not putting the expectation that Matvei Vechkov is going to be as good as Alex Ovechkin, and I also don't think the Flyers necessarily need a player as good as Alexander Ovechkin. Guys like that only come around once or twice in a generation. But it does show the impact that even an aging great can have in a big game. And Alex Ovechkin showed up. He had the goal that his team needed. They're in the playoffs and the Flyers aren't. For that reason, Alex Ovechkin is my second star.
It's just insane to look at how his season started. 8 goals through 43 games. Finishes the year with 31. That's an all-time great goal scorer right there to fucking find that switch. All right, let's close it out, Charlie, for the last time of 2023-24. Star number one.
Yeah, star number one, I'm going with Charlie Lindgren. And this is not just because he had a strong game, and he did. You know, he makes 27 saves on 28 shots. Very strong game. It's the fact that he had to deal with such an enormous workload at the end of the year. He played last night. This is the second game of back-to-back for him. It was his third start in four nights. You know, they rode this guy. And I'm not pinning this on Arison by any means, but Arison, at least during that eight-game losing streak, he wilted a little bit under the workload. I think it was an unfair workload, but he wasn't able to handle it to the degree that allowed the Flyers to make the playoffs. Certainly not all on him, but it's part of it. Charlie Lindgren, Washington ran him into the ground too. They were using him every game during this run. 3-4 to end the year. And what does he do? Back-to-back, he has a shutout, and then he gives up one goal on 28 shots. Were they all the best shots? No, they weren't. But there's a reason why goalies these days don't play back-to-backs that often. It's because it's really, really hard to be successful and to be sharp on the second game of a back-to-back. And he did it 3-4, and he still played the kind of game that gave the Capitals a chance to make the playoffs. I was never particularly familiar with Charlie Lindgren before the season, but maybe the Capitals have their answer in goal, because when the, you know, when the chips were down, when the light shone brightest, he stepped up. He got the job done. For that reason, he's my first star in this final three-star selection of the 2023-2024 Philadelphia Flyers season.
Well, Charlie, you have done it. We have survived another year of Flyers hockey, and now it's the offseason where the real work begins. So I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We'll be right back here. That is Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor, coming to us live from Game 82.
And can I just want to say something before I sign off. Want to thank all the viewers and listeners and readers at PHLY, you know, who've been paying attention to us from the start. We obviously are building something new here this year. And, I moved from a different publication, you know, Build It as well, moved from not only a different publication, but also a different, you know, place where you could hear him. And I really, really appreciate all the listeners, all the people that have come on board, all the people that followed us, all the new listeners, all the new viewers, all the new readers. I really hope you enjoyed this coverage this year. We were getting used to something new, and we did the best we could. We learned a lot. I think next year will be even better, hopefully for the Flyers, but also for us as well. I think our coverage is only going to get, you know, more comprehensive, just better all around. But I'm really, really happy with how this year went. Obviously, it would have been great to be covering the Flyers in the playoffs over the next couple weeks, but I think the Flyers will get there, and I'm excited to have everybody on board, you know, with us as we cover it when they do. So just a shout out to everyone watching this pod, watching the live stream. Just really appreciate it, and I'll be joining the show tomorrow. We can talk a little bit more about it.
And Charlie, like, I appreciate all of our listeners. Very happy to be doing this with you this first season. It's been a great year for us. What kind of bullshit is it that after all these years together, the breakout star is this fucking guy? Like, really? He's going to be the star of the Anthony Gargano show while we toil away here covering this goddamn fucking hockey team that never wins anything? Oh, my God. It's been awesome getting to have everyone involved. JP joining the crew has been awesome as well. But I'll talk to you tomorrow, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Yeah, and also a shout out to our great producer, Britta. She's done an amazing job.
Absolutely has made the look and feel of the show much better since joining the team. That is Charlie O'Connor from the Wells Fargo Center. And now I got to tell you real quick about Trumark Financial Credit Union. I've told you this. I am financially illiterate, incredibly irresponsible. You shouldn't take financial advice from me, quite honestly. But since that's true, and I don't want to just say nonsense at you, I looked into what Trumark is and what credit unions are so I could deliver this message of one of our sponsors. And I've been impressed about everything I've read and heard about Trumark. And the difference between a bank and a credit union, when you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. And you get better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options while still having all the same digital tools and tech that we've come to expect from our banking partners. Trumark, maybe the most important part about them, they've got local roots. They're headquartered in Fort Washington with 24 branches in the Philly area. They serve our community and our people right here at home. And becoming a member of a credit union has so many benefits over being a customer at a bank. It's almost like, why wasn't I doing this before? It's a no-brainer. So head over to Trumark.com/PHLY to learn more or find a branch near you. That's Trumark.com/PHLY, federally insured by the NCUA. And while we're doing it, thank God for the ability to chill.
Amen. You know,
really, really appreciate the ability to sometimes just take a step back and go, another season down, I get to chill now. And I'm going to get to chill with an ice-cold Coors Light because there's no better way to chill than with an ice-cold Coors Light. So whether you're freaking out about what the draft lottery, how it's going to play out, where this high-end talent's going to come from, Frost and Torts' relationship, whatever it is, you need to find the Blue Mountains in your fridge and enjoy a beer as cold as the Rockies. Because when everything surrounding your favorite hockey team is on fire, sometimes you just gotta chill. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I don't have a ton else tonight, JP. We did the watch-along, and that was a lot of fun. Although, ultimately, this season comes up a little short. And it's crazy to think... Like, it's crazy to think game 82 wasn't, yo, if we lose tonight, we might have the best lottery odds. And it was like, yo, if we win tonight, we might go to the playoffs. It's wild to look back where we were when this thing started here, when we started with PHLY this hockey season. But your expectations change throughout a season. What you think about coaches and players and a direction of a franchise changes throughout a season. Maybe the Flyers were almost victims of their own success. Like, yo, we were never this good. You know, like, we were never supposed to go to the playoffs. We're talking about the team that beat them tonight has the greatest goal scorer of all time. The Flyers have Travis Konecny. You know, like they finished with the same. TK, I think, might have had one or two more, actually, this season. But regardless, it's like nobody saw them here.
Yeah.
And so you do have to celebrate that. But at the same time, man, you were in a playoff spot for like 120 days. It's going to take a little bit for us to get over that. But we will, and we will march on with the offseason content as soon as tomorrow.
Yeah, we listen, like this, like we talked about. I mean, this town's been deprived of good hockey for so long. It's been an absolute mess. And so when you have an opportunity, like we're all thinking like, you know, like the Washington team in 2020 with the Commanders. And you think of like the Seahawks. Back or the Seahawks back when they won the division a couple like in the late 2000s, whatever 2010s. But like we thought that could be us. Like it doesn't matter. We make the playoffs in a season where we had no expectations. That would have been a win. But I think that even tonight, I think it's still a win because listen, they played hard. They played hard. They took it all the way to 82. I think we all know that this team still needs some work. We still need to get some high end talent. But
this is a huge offseason. Danny Briere. I don't know if it's, yo, we're acquiring a star. Like, I don't know if they're there yet, but he has to continue to be creative in creating opportunities for that high-end talent to come. Whether it's, listen, man, the Cutter Gauthier thing sucks, and we're going to watch that game. Like, he's on right now.
Yeah.
That whole thing sucks. Jamie Drysdale, though, they think he has high-end upside, and he was like a number six overall pick in a draft, you know? All right, there's an opportunity there. We lost the guy. We replaced him. Like, we lost a fifth overall pick. We replaced him with a sixth overall pick. Like, you just have to continue being creative. And, like, are they going to go out and trade for Leon Draisaitl this offseason? Listen, I'd fucking love it. Like, our numbers would explode.
Oh, my God.
I'd ask for a raise immediately. But, like, yeah, we got Draisaitl. Like, several thousand more people are going to be listening to the show every day. We're tearing up that contract.
Yeah, man.
But, like, is that where I think they are? No, but there needs to be a continued creativity in at least creating opportunities for that high-end talent to come. Because as long as they're this... finishing, you know, maybe we're going to draft 12th, maybe we draft 13th, maybe we draft 10th, whatever. It ain't going to be one. It ain't going to be top five, probably. As long as they're this, they have to figure out another way. Danny started that. I like what he's done to begin. The real work begins again tomorrow.
More importantly, Bill, we talked about it. Teams used to come into Philadelphia and be like,
Philadelphia. Easy. Wells Fargo Center.
Points
easy
night. Win.
Yeah. Not no more. Like, you have to come in. You have to play the Flyers hard. And that's been the best part. And before we sign off, Bill, I just want to take a quick second to not only thank you, thank Charlie, thank Brenna, thank everyone here at PHLY for giving me the opportunity here. It is absolutely surreal to be doing these post-game shows with you. Not a lot of people know I actually did watch a lot of BSH. It was one of my favorite podcasts. So being able to sit with you on everyday podcasts, it was freaking awesome, and I love it. My love for hockey has grown even more for it. So I want to thank you guys for watching, too, and thank everyone here for allowing me to be part of it, because it's a lot of fun.
Before we get out of here, we have one last super chat here. Let's go, Flyers. Now have to get a beer or two. Thanks for the post-game entertainment during this fun season. I never had vision, and now, like, the last 2 weeks, I can't read the super chats at all. I guess I got to get glasses or something.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But no, JP, it's been an absolute pleasure. Your star turn, it's well-deserved. I've really enjoyed getting to work with you this season. And listen, we ain't going nowhere. Nah, I told you that after. All. It's not as, season's over. See you in September. No, man, there's no summer vacation. We're still going to be doing 5 shows a week all through the summer, all through the offseason to get you the daily Flyers content you need. But that is a wrap on the 2023-24 Flyers regular season. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. You know what to do. Hit that subscribe button right here on YouTube. Set those reminders. Never miss a live show. We'll be back here at 3 tomorrow for one of those live shows. And Twitter, at @PHLY_Flyers, PHLY Flyers, wherever there are podcasts. That's it for me. My name's Bill Matz. That's JP Zapata. See you next year, Flyers fans.
Thank you, Philly.
We all silly like the mayor.